of Nanyang's water pitcher. And we talked about the water pitcher being a vessel, and also that means it's a container. And I was thinking that I believe the phrase was that, or the question raised was, where is Vairochana in your own body? Is that something like it? Where's Vairochana in your own body? And we chant Vairochana, Locham Vairochana, pure Dharmakaya during the meal chant. And then, of course, it's, well, our body is a container of light of the Dharmakaya, pure essence. And actually, so is our practice in this posture. So this posture of sitting posture is a container, like the water pitcher, like our body, a container for us to experience just this. So we've been studying Dungshan. He had a teaching called the Five Rings. And this framework is useful, particularly in studying koans, in Dogen, as we look at different positions that we are in throughout our everyday mind and life. But a Dungshan recognized that the five ranks really, in some way, didn't satisfy the need for students to know where are they, you know, what stage are they in their practice. Everybody wants to know that. Hey, how am I doing? Am I enlightened yet? So that's the reason he came up with what's called the 5 degrees of meritorious achievement. That is just so lofty. We could say 5 stages of practice. That might be more comfortable. Something to try on anyway. So the first of these 5 is intention. Also conversion or shift. So if you think about it, you're all here. Somehow, some way, each of you may have had some intention, some shift where you decided to practice. So there's a dialogue between a monk and Dungshan. And so the monk asks Dungshan, what does a shift mean? The master replied, what do you do when you're eating rice? So eating is something we do every day, whether it's rice or not. And how is Dungshan's instructions a teaching in terms of a shift? So, of course, Dungshan followed his style of not giving answers directly. So we have to investigate, what does this mean? And one interpretation might be that now the student will disentangle himself from in a sense, the mundane, the everyday life, and also then direct his life towards the Dharma. And in that sense, there is a shift that occurs when one makes a choice to do that and intend to practice. So what we have to do once we have this intention is we have to be willing to look at our thoughts and see what arises. We have to look at the delusions that we experience and not attach to them or turn away. We have to agree, if we're going to practice, to take refuge in our true nature, our true self, the light within, pure essence. So, the question is, for each of you, what do you do when eating rice? So the second stage is serving. There's a word they use, it's called submission. You know, for Americans, that's like, it's a little more difficult. We'll take serving. But submission, you know, submit ourselves to the teaching. But serve is something that in thinking about submitting to the practice, we're actually letting go of our small self, which is what we really do when we do prostrations. When we bow, we're letting go of the small self and lifting our hands up to our true self. So in serving, we actually allow the Dharma to turn us. So when we read the teachings, and in particular as we were studying the koans this past week, koan study is also effective at turning you, because when you apply a teaching like a koan to your life and your circumstances, then from that you're turned when you see how the teaching arises in you. The Dharma is there for us really at all times. And so turning towards and then serving, whether it's the Sangha or starting to see ourselves in relationship to the world and move outside of that comfort zone of I, me, and mine. So instead of having oneself as the center of the universe, we could put ourselves into the array and take a different perspective. So in this stage of serving, we can see how or what the nature of our delusions are, we get a good sense of specifics. We become quite intimate with our thoughts, and we can start seeing patterns in the way we think, patterns in the way we respond to what's arising. And this is really good information to practice with, because the more we know about what we're up to, the more we're going to be able to break through those obstructions, those hindrances. So in the process of serving and submitting to the teacher, submitting to the Dharma, you actually open up to what's going on with yourself. And you'll know when those rough spots are there, because you'll feel the resistance. And you either want to run away or you want to grasp. Those are clues. So Dungshan and the monk are having a dialogue on this particular, the second meritorious achievement and or stage of practice. And so the monk asks Dungshan, what does submission mean? What does service mean? And Dungshan replies, what did you mean when you turned your back on the real, or the ultimate, or the absolute, or the universal, or suchness? So it's kind of the response isn't what we expect, because it's in the reverse. But what Dungshan wanted to do was actually bring attention to the monk that it's important to distinguish one who submits himself to the teaching, to the real now, and then one who maybe turned their back on it previously, so that you're clear and have an experience that is deeply knowable to yourself. Another word we might use, which is much more contemporary, and that could be openness. In the sense that, are we ready to receive what the universe is offering? So over time, as the Dharma turns you, Dogen had observed this kind of process in his students, and he had once instructed, he said, an ancient has said, associating with a good person is like walking through the mist and dew. Though you'll not get drenched, gradually your robes become damp. That good person is your own true nature, your true self. What need is there to look outside yourself? It's within. So the third stage is accomplishing achievement. So here the realization is that you start to know who you are. You're actively centered on big mind, or oneness, or the universal, or suchness. You're aware of its presence within you and the things around you, the people around you. And Dunkshan asks, how do you understand this? How do you understand achievement? And the monk asks, what is achievement? Dunkshan asks back, what do you mean when you lay down your shovel? What do you mean when you stop all your activities, including laying down your shovel? We could say that we now can enter the state of wu-wei, wu-wei, the art of going along with nature. We act without the feeling that our actions are separate from nature, and that everything that you do is really just a matter of the course of things. It's the natural order. Nothing special. It just is. This is the time we invest in stillness and quietude. And we're immersed in non-discrimination. Our appreciation of this inner state is the result of practice. And of course, there are fruits for our efforts. Our karmic entanglements are reduced the more we see into what we're up to and are willing to make the changes necessary. The I Ching image that is a corollary to this would be preponderance of the great. Strength within, balanced inside and outside. Dunkshan has a verse that I would like to share on this particular stage, and it goes like this. The flowering of a withered log heralds an eternal spring. Hunting a unicorn, a man rode backwards on a jade elephant. Now he dwells alone beyond a thousand peaks, blessed with bright moonshine and pure breezes.
Could you say that again?
The flowering of a withered log heralds an eternal spring. Hunting a unicorn, a man rode backwards on a jade elephant. Now he dwells alone beyond a thousand peaks, blessed with bright moonshine and pure breezes. So this withered log sometimes even out of withered logs, I think dragons come and howl. I don't know. Dogen would say, anyway. They also bloom sometimes, too. So the eternal spring. Dogen, I think, has a line about the timeless spring, and something similar, eternal or timeless spring. Something that's really available to all of us, moment by moment, for our own blossoming and unfolding of the lotus within us. So riding a jade elephant is a symbol of the clear, clean path in pursuit of the unicorn, which is an auspicious animal and symbolizes the supreme goal, enlightenment, the realization of your true self. So during this stage, which is a process, doesn't happen one day and then you carry on and the next day it's different. It's really over time that this happens, as Dogen has shared with us. So it's during this time that we all can, in some sense, rest in suchness. It doesn't mean we stop practicing, but we can breathe deeply into this experience and have it nourish us as we sit. So returning to the source is very important in your practice for renewing yourself, so that when you are off the pillow, you can face what's also arising in your life. Dogen has a Dharma Hall discourse, and it's called "The Moon Shining on All Beings and Oneself." Did you see that fall moon that we had? Wasn't that an incredible fall moon? It just illuminated everything, and for days on, evenings, nights on end, it was just amazing. I was still in a full moon. How can this be? But it was amazing. And so, here's how Dogen sees that image. The family style of all Buddhas and ancestors is to first arouse the vow to save all living beings by removing suffering and providing joy. Only this family style is inexhaustibly bright and clear. In the lofty mountains, we see the moon for a long time. As clouds clear, we first recognize the sky. Cast loose down the precipice, the moonlight shares itself with 10,000 forms. Everywhere, when climbing up the bird's path, taking good care of yourself is spiritual power. So Dogen's endearing name, family style, refers to Soto School, which is what we practice here. The moonlight, enlightenment, shares itself with the 10,000 forms. And with the phrase, even when climbing up the bird's path, Dogen is referencing the Dungshan's suggestion to his disciples to emulate the bird's trackless path through the sky. The phrase, leaving no traces, is that we don't see the traces of the bird's flight. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've wondered, what is all the migration paths look like for these birds? How do they know? How they know which direction to go? I guess it's for us to investigate. Bird's path is, of course, an image for the monk's full functioning, which is what is being asked of us. Leaving no traces. So now we're at the fourth stage. You wonder, could it get better? So now in the fourth stage of accomplishing mutuality, collective achievement, is the time of really dedication to the liberation of all beings, actualizing the Bodhisattva vow. Dungshan asks, how do you understand collective achievement? And the monk asks, well, what is collective achievement? Dungshan replied, not one matter. Why not one matter? So this is the stage of the arising of both the universal and the particular. And your awareness, or one's awareness at this time, is of both. And you're able to discern the two. There's also some tension between those experiences. But nevertheless, the states are familiar to you. And you still, while you have those experiences, you commit to returning to your work of liberating all beings. Another indicator of that stage is the dropping of preferences, and you have a much stronger sense of equanimity, so you're less likely to have very strong preferences of one way or the other. You can embrace and see more than one side of a situation. Right and left and up and down and right and wrong all kind of start becoming less distinct in their presentation as you open yourself up to seeing much more of what's going on. So in a way, it's about the eyes being wide open instead of running away, ignoring, and not I guess generally avoiding, you know, what's arising. Whether it's attractive or not. So let's see. This is also a time that you have a more active interest in studying the teachings and becoming familiar with the stories of our ancestors and applying the teachings to your own life, integrating them so that you can then use the skillful means that comes from those teachings, comes from the integration of those teachings, and you can actually actualize the Bodhisattva vow by helping others. And now for the fifth stage, accomplishment of accomplishment. Sounds pretty cool. Absolute achievement. Okay. We're here. No idea of practice. Total integration. No Zen. No helping. Everything one does is correct. So in order to train, Dangshan asked, how do you understand the absolute achievement? What is absolute achievement? Not collective. Now, does that help? So not collective. I think we weren't we just collecting? Yeah, collective achievement, and now it's not collective. For those of us that were in the session, we know you put that no or not in front of something. That's a clue that we've just dropped into the universal or ultimate or suchness, thusness. So this is a stage of no differentiation. It's unified and interpenetrating. There's neither diversity nor unity. It's the stage of the non-abiding self. So it's a mind that's stirred by the thought of enlightenment, attainment of Buddhahood. And that initial wish for enlightenment is actually something that motivates us to actually continue to practice through all the stages. But in this stage, there's really no longer that requirement. It's an important stage as we know that there, as we practice, I think the knowledge that there is this stage, we know from Shakyamuni Buddha, who was the living example of a fully awakened being, and that possibility exists, if not in this life, maybe another. So it's the possibility. that we continue to practice. And at the same time, are grateful to know that our search is not in vain. That we too someday will awaken. So there you have it. You're on your way. You each know where you are. Let's see, do I have a minute or two? Oh, just 2 minutes. I'll just read you a few lines from Dogen, another Dharma Hall discourse. When you have a volume that's, you know, about 2 inches thick, you can't resist sharing. They're so wonderful. This is casting off all duality. Purity without stain is your body. Perfect illumination without conditioning is your eyes. The eye inside the body does not involve the sense gates. The body inside the eye does not collect appearances. So it is said that there is no wisdom outside suchness that can awaken suchness. And moreover, there is no suchness outside of wisdom that can